And now, without further ado, it is part two of this epic two-part podcast with Gary Jackson, the Master Sergeant. Listen and love it.
Because we are bending and ebbing and flowing to what society outside of the military is doing.
Right.
Well, because these airmen grow up in a society that it looks this way. Well, that's great. You joined the military. You don't get to do
You're
that.
You're like your own little society.
But
with own social
the military as a whole, not just the Air Force, is blending, trying to very much blend that. To where we are not the military we used to be.
Gotcha. That's good to adjust, make do. No, you mentioned you've been overseas. You mentioned, hey boys, we're going out drinking. Where has been over like your favorite place to visit, and what? Not trying to get you in trouble or anything, but any kind of rascally kind of going out drinking stories with your buddies. Any kind of silly overseas drinking stories?
I tell people that I have been around the world twice and I've seen it once.
So you do with that elaborate.
You do with that what you will. I've drank my way around the globe the first time, and you know, I remember the second time.
What do any shades of remembrances?
And one of the things, right, you go to a new place. I mean, I've been all over the world. I've been all over Europe, Asia, South America, unfortunately, all over the Middle East, not nearly as fun as
I can't
some of these
places. So.
I mean, Germany, Spain, Portugal, you know, all over.
It's 20 years of travel.
Inevitably, the first thing you're going to do when you get to a new place, hey, where's the restaurant? Where's the bar? Where can we get some drinks and get a little liquid courage in us? Because now we're
absolutely
in a foreign land and we don't speak the language, but now we want to go have fun. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the ebb and flow. So,
any place stand out of like, hey, these are cool locals. They have cool like local moonshine or whatever local liquor they have.
Everywhere is unique. I don't want to say any one place stands out more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Spain is awesome. I do love Spain. I've been through Spain quite a few times.
Where were you stationed in Spain?
I was not stationed there. It was just I've flown around the world and traveled working on aircraft for so long that you know. I have, you know, been through what is Rota Naval Air Station in Rota, Spain, right outside of Cadiz, not too far from Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had some buddies that were stationed there, and you know, you travel through and see them. And Germany, been to Germany. You know, been all over England. Iceland was amazing. I spent 19 days in Iceland, working on an airplane, changing an engine in not so great weather, but you know, you asked for a drinking story and it's fun.
Well, just like 20 years of memories,
you know, but
that's
but
just
one
taller.
Very much stands out.
Oh, Gary.
This happened in Spain. We were on our way home from a 4-month deployment. We had been in the Middle East for 4 months. I was deployed, so we were on our way back to New Jersey from the Middle East, and we stopped in Spain, right? Because, yes, we can make the flight all the way, but it's easier to stop, land, stay overnight, do what we got to do to the airplane, and then make the trip home.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to Spain probably 8 or 9 in the morning.
All
right. Right? And we get checked into our hotel off base because there was not enough availability on base. So we're staying at Hotel de la Frontera, and it's right on the beach.
Sounds pretty. Ooh.
Right on the beach.
A couple of senoritas out there.
You know, and we're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
And so me and my buddy Danny, we go straight to the NEX. Now, I'll remind you, we haven't drank in 4 months.
Nothing?
Because when you're overseas in the Middle East, a lot of those countries are dry countries, no alcohol.
Right.
And then when you're over there, you are, I mean,
Could you bring a bottle? Like,
No. These bases are dry because we are not there working every day. I mean, this is in the height of the aftermath of 9/11, the height of the Taliban. Like, we are there very much for a contingency reason, supporting a war effort in the Middle East. So we haven't drank. I've been drinking water, Gatorade, and apple juice for 4 months.
That must have been really intense, like, in that time, the gravity of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, we could have a whole conversation, and we can get into that, and I can share some of that, too. But we're coming back.
This won't be the last time you're on the podcast, by the way.
No, it's me and my buddy Danny, we go down, and we get a 12-pack of Corona.
What's that like? That first sip?
It's pretty satisfying. So we're sitting there sipping on a few Coronas, and I knew. I was like, hey, let's just kind of roller out. I think we had two or three, went up, showered, relaxed for a little bit, came down, had two or three more, and then it's like, all right, we're gonna go out for the night, you know, or we're gonna go out for lunch. We hit the beach for a little bit, let's go out for lunch.
How long did you have to kill before you had to
so we got there at 8 o'clock that morning, and we weren't leaving until like 10 o'clock the next morning, so we had we had a little over 24 hours to have some fun. So, you know, it's time to go out. And
let your hair down a little bit.
So we go get a bite to eat, and we work our way into downtown Rota. And there's everywhere in the world, doesn't matter where you go, there's an Irish pub. There is. And so
they've colonized, haven't they?
There's
Irish pubs.
There's Patty's Irish Pub. And I went to Patty's Irish Pub for the last time back in 2023 when I was also coming back from Saudi Arabia after 6 months. So it had become a frequent stop for me over the years.
The same bar?
Same bar, same location, right? You know, so we go. And then some of the other guys that we've been deployed with for 4 months start coming out. And my buddy Chris comes up. And he's like, Jackson. What's up, buddy? He's like, let's do some Irish car bombs. So I know that
that's a great idea.
I know this is a terrible idea. But I'm on board.
Was there food in your stomach at this point?
I mean, I had had some nibbles.
A couple nibbles,
you know. Some nibbles. So we had had some tapas, right? Spain tapas, small bites, absolutely. Right? Great, but everything was small. So I have a little bit of this, a little bit of this. So we'd eaten, but we didn't like sit down and eat a meal, or by our standards, a meal. So okay,
Irish car bombs incoming.
Here we come.
Oh,
hit the first one. So now we're drinking all right beer. Oh,
so that is an Irish car bomb. That's
it's a pint of Guinness. A pint of Guinness with a shot of Jameson with a Bailey's floater on top.
Oh my God.
And boom, drop it in the glass, turn it up, chug it, right? And the key to them is you got to drink them fast because if you don't, the Bailey's and the Guinness curdle and it will make you sick. I love them.
China.
Yeah. But you got to be able to chug a beer fast.
That's a dark, heavy
beer. It's a heavy beer with whiskey and Bailey's, and they taste delicious. They're amazing. Mm. And so we proceed to do one. Cool, great. First one goes down great. Second one goes down great. Third, fourth, and fifth one go down great.
What are the intervals between the car bombs?
You know, maybe the first two were back-to-back, maybe a half hour, you know. And so now the night's just kind of stretching on, and we're partying.
Are the clothes still on at this point?
Yeah. Clothes on your head.
That's good.
You know, and there's guys that some are lightweights. Some of us are handling a little bit better.
After 4 months of drying out.
So, but at this point, you're full of piss and vinegar, and you've been working out, and you're in great shape. You can take on the world. You don't care.
You're how old at this point? Mid 20s?
Man, this had to have been, maybe 23, 24 years old.
A lot of lead left in your pencil.
Maybe 23, 24 years old. Night carries on, and next thing I know, we're standing at this bar in Spain, and we meet this random guy named Rudy. Rudy is an Army veteran, and he has one leg. And he goes on tell us this great story about getting his leg blown off. So now Rudy has become our best friend.
Rudy's that guy.
Rudy's the dude.
Yeah.
Hey, Rudy, what are you drinking? Well, I'm drinking gin and tonic. Well, I've never had gin and tonic. But if Rudy, my guy Rudy is doing it, well, then I'm doing it.
You can't let him go it alone.
Give me a gin and tonic.
Come on now.
So I start drinking gin and tonics with Rudy.
Oh,
and then I go back to beer. And then maybe another car bomb. So finally.
Mayu.
And then so in Spain, I mean, they stay open late. So it's probably 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And the bar is finally, you know, but there's still people. But finally, it's like, all right,
How are you still standing at this point?
Who knows? Sheer determination.
Yeah.
Failure was not an option.
No, it's not. Oh.
See what I've done there?
Yes, you did.
So finally, one of our supervisors or something, he's like, hey, guys, we got to go. So we go over to the taxi stand, we get a taxi, and we are all just drunk beyond
imagination. Blacked out, at least? Like, just...
Well...
I mean, you remember that, like, I'm very impressed. You remember
Coming through. Driving in a cab, and somebody had said, take us there. And I remember we get out, and we walk up to this hotel, and I'm like, this is not the right fucking hotel.
Mm-mm.
And we're like, we are not at the right hotel. And so we're there for like 30 minutes, and we finally, no, this is not the right hotel. So we, now I've kind of started to blur in and out of like what's going on.
Indeed.
And so I remember getting back to our actual hotel, and I remember getting out of the cab and doing the lean forward, like stumble, walk, run thing. And I make it to my hotel room.
Ooh.
I set my alarm clock before I went out. Smart.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Pro tip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pro tip, if you're ever going to go out with the boys, set your alarm clock, lay your clothes out the night before.
What time are you waking up at?
I think we had to be up. It's probably 2:30 in the morning at this point, and we had to be up by like 6:30.
Oh, you'll totally sober up by that time.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
Did Rudy really exist, or was it just Rudy some local guy? Rudy was 100%
exist.
Yeah?
And so not Rudy, and I remember that night, we're talking, oh, yeah, man, we're headed home, back to New Jersey. He's like, I'm going with you guys tomorrow. And we're like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, yeah, full shit. Like, he's, we're like, this dude ain't going nowhere.
Rudy.
Right? So the next morning, we get up. My buddy Danny, he had left early in the night. Them handful of Coronas and one drink down at the bar, and he was done. He really? Went back early. So Danny has to come wake me up. I get my uniform on, stagger down, and we're all drunk. I mean, we're all still drunk at this point.
Just saluting halfway.
So we're get downstairs, and we're like, all right, we're going to go to the little gas station on base and get some food or, you know, beef jerky or whatever for
something
the flight
to
home.
Soak this shit up.
And so I go over, and I'm like, I need fluids. And I grab a yellow Gatorade out of the cooler, and I just crack it open, and I start chugging this yellow Gatorade.
Mm-hmm.
And that sugar hit my body, and it made me sick. And I remember, and I'm like, Danny. And I remember just like blowing the back door to the gas station open and like running out on the loading dock and puking off the loading dock. Puking up yellow Gatorade.
Was that the first time you puked all night? Like you held it all in.
That was it. So it's all coming back out.
You erupted. So and the car bombs, the gin and tonics.
I am just...
projectile.
Not feeling well. We get to the airplane, and I get up, and I get in my seat, and I just like...
You fell asleep.
And I pass out. And my buddy Danny, like, to this day, tells me a story. He's like, dude, he's like, at one point, like, we woke you up, and people are, like, walking by, like, I'm not sitting next to that dude, right? Okay. And I'm kind of like...
You're, like, angry sleeping?
I'm just like... drunk. I probably smell like a brewery. I'm snoring to high heavens. And next thing I know, I look up and here comes Rudy.
Rudy's there.
Rudy's on the airplane.
He wasn't lying.
So Rudy was flying as a space available passenger from Spain back
to
the United States.
Yeah.
And so Rudy's now with his family, who was not with him when he was out drinking. And we're like, Rudy, my guy. And he's like looking at us. Yes.
Guys,
very much like,
on.
I don't know you guys.
I've
like,
never met you before in my life.
And then I proceed to pass out. And I don't wake up until we land back at home in New Jersey.
That's a nice, easy flight, though. Yeah. What was the hangover like? Did you have a hangover?
No, it was excruciating.
As miserable as one would
have been. We landed in New Jersey. It's January. And... I remember stepping off the airplane, very much hungover. I take about 5 to 10 steps, and I bust my ass on a patch of ice.
Oh.
And I remember laying there with an excruciating hangover. The guys that I work with at home station are now just laughing at me.
Yeah.
And they can just see that I'm just in pain. I'm just like, just leave me here for a minute.
Just me die. But,
yeah, so to say that I've partied. I've done my fair share.
You've had your drinks.
I've had a few drinks.
These aren't bad, like little non-alcoholic little
something.
You said you're drying out before the retirement there.
Yep. Help me lose a few LBs.
You're looking good though, big dog.
Thank you.
Still running. Gets a little cardio in there. Before we get to the off the... Thank you for that story, by the way.
Yeah, very good.
Before we get to like nice little...
More. You want another one?
Twist my arm, Gary. What do we have here?
You want a non-alcoholic West Coast, a non-alcoholic hazy, or a porter?
I'll go Best Day Brewing, right? On the West Coast. It's actually appreciate good. That. I'll Very take good. It. 20 years. I haven't stuck with one thing in my life for 20 years. You have a distinguished military career. You've ascended the ranks. You've learned. You've lost. You struggled. What's it like? What's it feel like looking down the barrel of retirement after such a long career? I don't know, what are you feeling like?
Wow. You know, and it's funny we're doing this now because I am at a point where I'm having to figure that out.
A little numb at this point or just not really sure?
No, just it is all very surreal, right? You do this for so long and you see friends and coworkers and bosses and supervisors and colleagues, you see them retire.
Yeah.
It's never going to be your time. And then you wake
up. It's not for me.
And then you wake up and it's your time. And it's trying to figure out how to sum up a career, what that career meant to me. You know, so I don't have to, but I, you know, I've got a retirement ceremony coming up, and part of that retirement ceremony is going to be the glitz and the glamour and, you know, the I love me's that, you know, and that's very much not who I am.
I was going to say, it's going to be a little painful having to deal with that because you're not an I guy by any stretch of the imagination.
No. And so I talked to my dad the other day and he's like, well, he's like, I'm going to tell you right now, you better figure it the fuck out. He's like, because this is your day. He's like, you better. I was like, Dad, I don't like it. I was like, no. He's like, it doesn't matter. You're going to figure it out because for once, this is about you and you alone. And I'm not about that. But there's a part in every retirement ceremony when you get through all the formalities and it's, hey, that individual, we're pronouncing them as retired and they get to take the floor and tell their story. And
you got
to
give a speech.
You don't have to. I mean, I've seen guys say, hey, thanks for coming, guys. Hey, appreciate it. And, you know,
I'm out of here.
Hey, thank you. It's been great. Thanks for everything. Great work with all you guys. Have a good day. And I've seen guys who have gone on and told their story. And I don't know what that is going to be. And I'm trying to figure out. So for me to answer that question for you, honestly, right now, I can't do it. Because I don't know what it is. I don't know how I feel. I know that I'm excited, but I'm scared shitless.
Not the anxiety that you had first getting into to recruit training. This is a little more fear.
This is again the same thing but different. Now I'm 39 years old. I've got a house, I've got a mortgage, I've got bills, I've got a life.
I've got wiener dogs.
I've got a standing that I've worked to enjoy, and I say status, not like, oh, look at me, status, but like a standard of living that I've set for myself that I enjoy, that has been afforded by being in the military. Well, that comfort blanket, that's coming off, you know, and by choice now, I could keep doing this. I could stay in the military longer, but guess what? Eventually they're going to say, you got to go. So I'm choosing to do it now because it's the right time for me.
Yeah.
Now. Doesn't mean I'm not scared shitless.
No regrets on it, but yeah, it's
no
it's
regrets. And you know what? I may wake up in 6-8 months and be like, what the hell? Why did I get out of the military? What am I doing?
You're getting to your routine.
You know, and I'll figure it out. Yeah. So what has it all meant to me? I can't answer that right now. Because I'm still working through that. It's very emotional.
Yeah.
Because I can only imagine. I've done this for so long and I've met so many amazing people and seen so many amazing things and so many horrible things and experienced things that I would never want other people to experience, but they're part of what made me who I am and the ability to be grounded and comfortable in my skin. So I'm trying to figure out what all that looks like right now and how I feel, because Sergeant Jackson goes away in six weeks, five weeks.
I was going to ask you about that guy. Are you going to shake hands and salute him and say goodbye, or is he always going to be a part of you and how you interact?
I mean, that story, that is, I will forever be, and this is something that I am proud of, I will forever be a veteran.
Yes.
So it's funny. We used to mess with a guy at work when the VFW, Veterans of Foreign War.
Okay.
Used to, if you wanted to join a VFW, your local VFW here, Davis, Sacramento, whatever. If you wanted to join that, you had to go in and you had to prove, you had to show proof of your orders and your ribbons that you had served as a veteran of foreign war, that you had served overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So there are veterans. There are people who have never... They've showed up to work at Travis Air Force Base for 4 years, for 6 years.
That's it.
Never deployed, never gone anywhere, did their job, went home. That person's a veteran. That mm-hmm. person is respectably and honorably a military veteran.
Yes.
There are veterans of foreign war. I am a veteran. I am a veteran of foreign war. Several times over.
Mm-hmm.
I have served overseas 9 times, deployed. I have... Oh, man, math is hard in public. 6 months, and then what's 8 times 4 is 48? 8 times 4 is
32.
16, 24, 32, and another 6 months. So 38 months of my life deployed to the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
So over 3 years that molded and shaped me into part of who I am. I'm very proud of that. So
yes.
Will Sergeant Jackson ever go away? No, because that person made me helped make me who I am.
Well, just like our past is always part of who we are.
But am I willing to put that in the back of the closet and bring it out and tell the stories when I need to? Sure. Because I very much,
you like that?
Again, have worked hard to find out who Gary is, and I'm excited to pursue that version of myself going forward.
I like that. Very good. It's to not know and just, hey, it's an inevitability that you're going to face. And I think you'll persevere. It's kind of what you do. Failure's not an option, right?
Yeah.
No. It's So I did want to plug your woodworking is incredible. If anybody's ever been to Hoobies and see the wall, the shelves that hold the glassware.
Correct.
That's a Gary special. What is the name of your woodworking enterprise?
Woodworking the empire that is going to be.
Yes.
Is JME Woodworking. It stands for Jake Murphy and Elwood.
The Wiener Dogs.
The Wiener Dogs. Woodworking. And it developed out of a little bit of a hobby, a little bit of, hey, when I was a kid, I thought, man, maybe I want to be a carpenter.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed cool. And I remember having knee surgery in 2010.
What happened?
So I've had 3 knee surgeries, 2 shoulder surgeries.
Goddamn, Gary.
I've got 2 ruptured discs in my back.
Yeah.
So I think that surgery at that time was for a torn meniscus, probably
from the occupation.
Just wear and tear. So I had knee surgery and I'm sitting at work and I can't really go out and do much mechanic wise because my knee is still recovering. I don't have much range of motion. And I remember looking at my buddy that I worked with who happened to be my next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I think I'm going to build a bed.
Like a bed frame?
Yeah, just a whole bed. I had a spare bedroom in my house that literally had a cheap Walmart like corner desk in it and nothing else. And I was like, I kind of need a bed if family comes to visit. I was like,
yeah,
I'm going to build a bed. And he looked at me. He's like,
wow.
Do you have any fucking clue how to build a bed? I was like, no. I was like, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And how'd it turn out? I did a little bit of, this was like early-ish YouTube. A little bit of, man, I was like, well, I know what a bed looks like. I can read a tape measure. So I go to Home Depot and I buy a $99 miter saw and a router.
And did you, like, no cuts or any lost fingers?
No, not at that point. I have tried to take my fingers off twice since.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had no idea about lumber, about wood selection, wood species, nothing.
Species,
you know, an oak, a walnut.
Because you have a lot of dark wood. I love your cutting boards that have that metal wire.
A lot of those are made out of walnut. Walnut is very, very popular here in California. So when I go to build this bed, hey, the only wood that I've ever known was what we called Southern Yellow Pine. It was very popular all over the South. So the Home Depot in New Jersey had pressure treated southern yellow pine.
Mm.
Pressure treated lumber is meant for outdoor construction, for decks, for stuff that is going to be outside in the elements on the ground.
Indeed.
I don't know that. I know nothing about woodworking at this point. So I go buy some 4x4s and all pressure treated lumber has no business whatsoever being inside of a home. And I construct this bed that was very, like, tried to be beach inspired. Had like lattice work for the head and footboard and frame and
a twin bed or full
queen size bed.
Whoa, you went big.
Queen size bed that could have withstood a hurricane.
It's sturdy.
It weighed. Lord, that thing, like, because it was solid pressure treated 4x4s, pressure treated 2x4s. I mean, this thing is beefy.
Had to have smelled great, too.
Beefy. So then I know nothing about pressure-treated wet lumber. So here I am. I get this pressure-treated lumber, and I try to paint it white with this shitty latex paint from Lowe's. I know nothing. So, like, the green from the wood is bleeding through. I'm like, whatever. It looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of it because I built it, and it functions. And I can put a mattress and a box spring on it, and you can lay on it. Well, we go to move it. You know, a year later when we move out of that apartment and there's like green stains on the carpet from the pressure. But, you know, so I build this bed and it functioned and it did what it needed to do. And
how'd that feel? Like you made it.
It kind of sparked a thing. And then this
on a bum
is,
leg, no less.
On a bum leg, no less. And then this is the point in time where pallet wood furniture was the rage.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do? Well, hell. If everybody on the internet's doing it, I'm doing it.
Right.
So I start finding pallets, and I make a set of coffee table and end tables for my house to replace the ones I had from IKEA or wherever. I don't know.
You get good at sanding. Would you like lacquer and like kind of stain it?
You know. And so again, I'm still trying to learn what tools do what. But I'm like, hey, well, the guy on the YouTube video has that tool that I've never used that I didn't even know existed, but he's using it, so. That means I must need it.
Yes.
And so I go buy a planer and a router. And I don't really have any idea how to use these things, but I know that the schmuck on the internet knows how to do it, and I can watch enough of them. So I learned how to do it. And it just slowly evolved into a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm learning.
China.
Still learning, knock on wood, to design and come up with my own ideas. And some of the furniture that I now have in my house are my designs.
Are you going to go more furniture stuff? Because you have great cutting boards. Like what is in your arsenal of creations?
So furniture is what I love. Yeah. I love to build furniture. I have a blast when I get to make cutting boards and cheese slicers and small things.
Those cheese slicers are very, like, that's the most unique thing I've seen.
You know, I love doing those. And those are what I like to call quick wins in the shop. If I'm in between of a big project, I can put together a handful of cutting boards in a weekend.
Then you go to the farmers market, the craft fairs,
things like that, you know, when and where I can. I actually have a little, I don't want to call it a vendor fair, but I had a lady reach out to me the other day from the Seroptimus Club in Dixon to come out. They're doing a wine tasting and art thing, and she had heard about my work and seen it on the internet and invited me to come out to be one of their vendors and artists there. So
nice.
I'll do that in March.
Word of mouth is the best advertising,
you know, so do a lot of the small stuff. Obviously I want to get into the furniture because those, I pride myself on building a thing that's going to last. I don't want to build a piece of IKEA furniture or a piece of Walmart furniture or whatever the case may be. This thing that I'm going to build you, it ain't coming apart. And it's going
to
be...
You're going to give this to your kids.
It's an heirloom piece of furniture is what I'm trying to go for. But I'll also go where the art takes me. And, hey, if it comes to where building cutting boards is the thing that's going to keep food on the table, then that's what I'm going
to
do.
Why not? It's like there's those that... The skill to create furniture seems so much more, but I loved at the crafts... fairs, say like a coaster or like a bookmark that's made out of wood or like a pen that's just so, I feel like that's such a different layer or element of woodworking.
Yes.
And very like craftsman, but it's just what you got so far, I think is awesome. And then I think you'll have like a catalog. Oh, you want this? It'll take
hopefully
a week or so.
I'm trying to figure that out. I am not the best at social media and advertising. Again, not have been my strong suit, but that is part of what I'm going to push myself to learn going forward.
You have some time coming up, sir.
Well, we're gonna figure it out.
Get some learn. Yeah. Could that be something that if it could be full time? I'm just diving into it.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
You know, and fortunately, I've set myself up over the last 20 years of my career where I knowingly built in about a year after I retire to go full on and see what this thing's gonna do.
Some passion.
And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, I know that I can go get a job.
Yeah.
I can take my experience in leadership and managerial skills and go find work.
I can only imagine the connections that you've made over 20 years in the military. Yeah,
and but it's a skill set, right? And
yeah.
Some of it will translate. And there's a lot of people that are out there that just look and they're like, man, that guy did a thing for 20 years. There's got to be something worth, yeah, come on, we'll try the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna give the woodworking thing a go. Try and figure out how to market myself and what that looks like. And
just do it!
See if we can't make the shoe fit.
Oh, yeah. The shoe's going to fit because I think what people react to is vain and superficial as society is, and social media certainly. There is a yearning for authenticity, and you embody that full well. Like, you could be, like, silly with your videos. Hey, here it is. And just, I love, like, the smell of it. I could just see you having fun. The wiener dog's running around, sawdust, and just... Just having fun with it and yep. like being authentic. That's
trying to figure out what that looks like.
Yeah. We have reached a point in the podcast, sir. It's called Off the Cuff, and it's just 10 questions to wrap this bad boy up. They could be random, maybe related to what we're talking to, maybe completely out there.
Fire away.
Here we go. Off the cuff. So these first couple of questions were inspired by one of the last podcasts I did with my running group, the Pain Cave, we call it.
Okay.
And we got an indoctrinated student there. It's my friend Cap and Danielle, and then Austin.
Yep.
Run around town anyways. Austin had a great question. He's like, I've been wanting to ask you guys this for a while. How do you dry yourself off after the shower? And I was like, huh, I've never really thought about that, but I definitely have my technique because I'll go like legs and then arms. It's like I have a way of going about it, but I never really talk about it with anybody. Do you have a method?
Obviously, I've got a luscious head of hair here.
Yeah, yeah, it's got to be tough.
So stand up shower. So I always drape my towel over the shower.
Yes.
Water off. I pull the towel in, kind of dry the head, the face, and everything.
Get the face.
And then I'll step out onto the rug and dry my legs, mm-hmm. and then move across to my counter and dry the rest of my body.
You're moving positions.
Yeah, because like, I have a rug right outside the shower and then a rug close to the sink. So I'll dry my legs off to where I can move over to the sink, and then that's when I do the arms and the old back scratcher move to dry the back.
You got
to
get it.
Yeah.
I try to stay inside. Now in the wintertime, I'll pull it off. I'll stay inside the shower. It's a little more warm. But then as soon as I step out, I'm like, all right, we're cold here. I got it.
We're in this.
I didn't used to. An ex got me to scrub the booty. You got to get in there. Nooks and crannies.
It is what it is.
And I get sudsy. So like my friends are making fun of me. And I don't know if they understood what I was saying. I'll get out. And I know that the hand is rather tainted. So I'll go and like wash my hand, put a little soap, wash the hand, one final scrub, and then I can like touch my face. Because if I get the nooks and crannies, I'm like, it's...
That's why I dry my face and my head first.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
The booty's one of the last things to get dry.
Yeah, got to scrub the booty. Yeah. But no, I legs, but I don't have a rug right out of there. It's just
and
a little cold towel.
Oddly enough, two of the three wiener dogs will run in the shower and lick my feet and my legs.
They'll get in there with you.
No. Well, into the bathroom, like as I'm drying off, and they'll come and like try to lick my feet.
Is this demanded? You say you get over
no,
here.
No, it's
you
just
lick
something
daddy's
that,
feet.
It's something that Jake has done since he was a puppy.
It's a good dude.
And it just kind of, you know what? Some people are like, you already let your dog lick your feet. I was like, he's done it since he was a
you
puppy.
Know,
I don't care. Whatever.
It's hard to have a good roommate these days. Yeah. If someone's going to lick your feet, I mean,
you know,
he's that guy. He's a weird dude, that Jake.
Yeah.
A secondary question. From like based off that same podcast, when it comes to wiping, I have always wadded the toilet paper, but my friends are like, no, I fold it. You get more surface area.
Fold.
I feel like a complete psychopath because I call it the Italian. I wad it. I mean, I'm able to get the job done, but I
and
feel
then finish with wet wipe.
Wet wipe.
Yeah.
I've never
a dude
that
wipe or a flushable wipe.
That's just feel like you're being extra cautious,
you know,
in a good way. Have you ever explored?
To say that I've shit in some austere situations
yes,
around the world.
Yes,
not cool, man.
Dude, wipe it. Oh, where there's nothing.
Yeah, I mean
sand.
So in Saudi Arabia, they don't have plumbing like we do in the States,
mm-hmm.
or they do, but not functioning good plumbing.
Right.
So when you wipe, there's trash cans in every stall, and you wipe and then throw it in a trash can.
Okay. So it's a little, not just a hand of sand. I mean, that's got to be a culture shock. We take it for granted. Oh,
so
plumbing.
It is very much in Middle Eastern countries. I want to say it's, you don't shake with the right hand. You shake with the left hand.
Really?
There you go.
Left hand. What's that like? A left-handed handshake?
You just kind of
just knowing that right hand has been like some places, sir.
You've been knuckle deep in a dark place.
Oh my God. Do you think they'd lighten up if they had good old-fashioned American plumbing and toilet paper?
You know, it's weird though, because they.
That's the norm though, isn't it?
They don't know how to use it. You know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they know how to use it, but it's not their norm.
No. Just like this, it's like it's. That's just so, when you really think about it, the difference in cultures and how we interact, like in the bathroom, like this is our thing.
Yep.
You go elsewhere, we're like, oh, you have to squat or maybe just bidets. Like, are you a bidet guy at all?
So, yes, I've used them around the world.
And
COVID 2020, I was living in Hawaii and boy, everybody was buying Costco toilet paper like it was going out of style. And you couldn't find toilet paper on that island.
Use a banana leaves.
You know, couldn't find toilet paper, but Costco had plenty of fucking bidets.
Bidets the way.
And, you know.
You an advocate or?
Yeah, I mean,
I guess I might have had the first one I tried on like full blast because like it went up and it came out my nose and I was sore.
You know, and if you don't know to like set the right water temperature and you give old squirt ice cold water. It'll throw you off.
But it did.
I used one out of necessity during COVID. I hooked one up at the house to have because, well, it was cheaper than trying to hunt down toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have one here at the house, but if I'm in a place that has one, why not?
You don't fear it.
No.
There's some good one, like France or Spain or one of the best bidets.
A bidet is a bidet.
I need one with like maybe.
I mean, I'm sure there's. Thicker. Yes, there are very fancy ones, but
I need the fanciest because I've had like it was just like a super soaker just blasting the booty. I'm like, this is. I don't know. I didn't live up to the hype. Skylar swears by it. Not a bidet guy, unfortunately.
Hey, you know, it happens.
I guess I'll stick to my wadding. Ranch or blue cheese, sir?
Neither. I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh dear. Maybe you should. Just tolerate it. Just tolerate the ranch.
Neither.
Just eat your wings straight up.
Straight, delicious buffalo in all their glory.
Are you a buffalo guy? Like, out of all the wings?
Oh, I mean, I love buffalo wings, but I'll eat barbecue wings. I'll eat dry rub. I'm a connoisseur of chicken wings.
Dry rub's not bad. It's a different way. Kind of like ribs. Dry
rub's
a different.
One of the best chicken wings I've ever had in my life.
Mm.
Not necessarily quality of chicken as far as meaty chicken wing, but flavored chicken wing. Came from a Foodland grocery store in Hawaii. And once I found them, I couldn't get enough.
They were made there or you store bought them?
Kind of like a very much like a, say,
like a deli or something.
Like
there.
A Whole Foods, how they'll have like the little little cafeteria or like, you know, so the Foodland had that.
I cannot imagine they were cheap though.
It wasn't really that bad. I mean, but you could go to this, they had like the fried chicken and stuff and you could get a 1 pound bag of salt and vinegar chicken wings.
Ooh, wouldn't be my go-to, but if it tickles your fancy,
like I like a good salt and vinegar chip, and I would always. So this Foodland had a bar in it. It was a grocery store with a bar.
I like that.
It's called the Powhana Bar, like a legit full service bar in the grocery store. It was like half a mile from my neighborhood, so I became a frequent to the bar at the Foodland, and the guy Dan that worked there. Made an absolutely amazing old fashioned. So
love the chair.
I'd be sitting at the Powhana Bar at the Foodland grocery store. You know, everybody's grocery shopping, and here we are drinking. And they had a full menu, like a restaurant menu, a restaurant kitchen. But you'd look over, and I would always see these people carrying bags of chicken wings. Are these bags of chicken? I was like, what the hell are all these people getting? I go over and I said, what? She's like, oh, you get a pound of chicken wings.
You went up and just talked to the people?
Yeah, no, I went up to the people who worked there and I was like, I see everybody walking away with these bags. What are they? She's like, oh, they're getting bags of chicken wings. I was like, what do you need chicken wings? Like, and I'm like looking like, where's the buffalo wings? There's nothing. There's these chicken wings. She's like, yeah, salt and vinegar chicken wings. I was like, oh, okay.
Just that easy.
And I was like, all right, man, I got to try these things.
What was it like?
I you know, I've never done drugs, but I can imagine it was like your first experience like on good cocaine.
Little crackers.
Yeah, like, I mean.
You like that?
I remember, like, getting them, and I went back every day for five straight days.
I cannot.
Like a pound of chicken wings. They were that good. Like,
And no ranch, no dipping. No ranch, like,
nothing. Just got to let the wing speak for itself. You put all that ranch and blue cheese on it, it hides the flavor.
Oh, I understand.
Like people who are ranch and blue cheese, like, let me daub this in here. Then why just get a plain wing and put ranch and blue cheese on it? You're covering the flavor up.
That, I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty. I will cop to it. But
Courtney's the worst.
Oh, how did she just drown it?
She just loves ranch, and I'm like, man, no, this is
so
terrible.
Good. It is like rather like, I'm not going to say it's not culinary blasphemy. It's supposed to be an addition, not drowning it. But
yeah,
I
want a buffalo wing
far.
That you then lather in blue cheese. But obviously, that's your forte.
I am a snob when it comes to like ranch versus blue cheese. Just shoving ranch down your
big
throat.
Big barbecue sauce fan with my French fries.
With French fries, you say?
Yeah, because I don't like ketchup. Not that just ketchup's too, which is weird because barbecue
sugary.
Sauce is mostly tomato based.
Yeah,
but ketchup is very sugary, very sweet. But I like a good, like hearty barbecue sauce with some onion rings or French fries.
Do you prefer dry rub ribs or something slathered in some nice local
sauce?
When
I make my ribs, I love smoking meat.
Yeah,
I will dry rub them, smoke them.
Traeger.
Traeger, yeah. Traeger man. Dry rub them, smoke them, do the whole thing, aluminum foil. And then at the end, when I do the final step, I'll baste them in like a barbecue sauce. So not like they haven't been marinated or cooked in the barbecue sauce, but they have that coating.
Oh, delicious, I'd say. Like it's like a wing by itself should be enjoyed. I'm like a whore for the garlic parmesan at Hoobie's, my God. But I'll dip it a little bit in ranch. Even my pizza. It's very difficult to have pizza. I can have pizza raw.
How can you have pizza? Again, lactose intolerant. I do love pizza, though. I will make the sacrifice for pizza.
With ranch or the cheese?
With the cheese, with the lactose.
If I get...
It is a.
I could feel my stomach like tumbling. I'm like, you know what? I know I'm gonna spend some time on the toilet, but hey, yeah. I'll play on my phone.
Then you can practice your wad.
Absolutely, practice the wad. Just make sure. God. I didn't know. Yeah, ranch or blue cheese? Neither. Fair answer. Very good. Your favorite food at Hoobie's? What a plug we got here.
Yeah. So it is. I love the chicken wings.
They're thick.
They're
those are hefty.
Phenomenal
chickens.
Chicken wings. But I've always loved their Caesar salad.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a bite or two.
I was a huge fan of the original before the kitchen upgrade, before the kitchen remodel.
The food is like getting insane reviews. Like it's staring
amazing.
At it. I'm staring at it every Sunday. People get
Chef
fries.
Chef Troy's done an amazing job, but you got to remember that all started with Courtney and the rest of the family in a very small kitchen.
Oh my God!
Their original barbecue sandwich on the torpedo roll was one of my favorites. I loved it.
Yeah.
I was so sad when she got rid of it and they kind of evolved the menu away.
Bring
from
it back.
It hurt me a little bit, but then she brought in chicken wings, so I was okay with it.
It was the best they could do given not like the circumstances and what the kitchen was at that time.
Super tiny kitchen. I mean, a lot of the torpedoes, the barbecue, that all came out of a toaster oven.
Yeah.
I mean,
their nachos have always been like bang for your buck.
Yeah, you would never know insane. It. I mean, they have done such an amazing job there.
Yeah.
And again, they've done so well at evolving. And again, Chef is.
The tots are insane. The tots are crispy, delightful.
I'm an onion ring man.
I was going to say, between the war of tots, fries, onion rings.
They all have their place.
Yes.
I am a buffalo chicken wing and onion ring man. That is my preferred combination with a cold beer.
Barbecue sauce on the wings, you say?
No, on the onion rings. I'll get to dip. Or if I can get a good, like, sloppy slathering of buffalo sauce, I'll sop up the buffalo sauce with my onion ring.
It's a little tangy. If it's made right, I can handle it.
But fries and tots, I mean... You can't go wrong with a good taco.
You really can't. The fries are good there. The
fries are great.
Garlic fry guy?
Garlic. I love garlic. I don't get them so much there, but I do love good garlic fry, good garlic mashed potato.
Oh, my. You're saying all the right things, Gary. You know? All the right things. Nice mix. I love mashed potatoes when a little bit of barbecue sauce kind of seeps in from whatever you're eating.
Like
maybe a little tomato from your meatloaf. It's like, the meatloaf and mashed potato. Now I got to eat it all, baby.
Got to do what you got to do.
Let's see. Your favorite wrestler growing up. We talked a little Diamond Dallas Page. Ooh,
so Diamond Dallas Page, you know, that was older, but the Ultimate Warrior, hands down, bar none.
How much coke do you think
he
sniffed?
He did all of the cocaine.
There's no coke left over.
He did it all.
That is like
the heavy breathing. I loved the Ultimate Warrior as a kid, and I think It was a combination of the Ultimate Warrior and Sting, and I think it was the really cool, bright face paint that
Sting's face paint was probably the best.
Sting, they had it awesome. Ultimate Warrior, he was just that crazy.
Were you a Hulk Hogan fan at all?
Of course every kid liked Hulk Hogan, mm-hmm. You know, Hulkamaniac. I will tell you that as I've gotten older, and one of my favorite things to do when I just need a good break from reality is I will sit down at YouTube and I will pull up just 80s wrestling promos with Randy Savage and
Ric Flair,
oh my. Ricky Steamboat, like these guys. And
the sweating profusely and growling.
The amount of drugs that were in those guys' systems and their ability to entertain. Great.
Different time.
Loved watching The Ultimate Warrior. Loved watching Sting. Randy Savage is one of my... Macho Man Randy Savage is one of my favorite guys.
Iconic.
To watch redo promos. It's amazing. And then obviously got a little bit older, and then you had The Rock and Stone Cold.
Attitude Era was
and they were great. The Attitude Era was great, and it's funny. My nanny, my dad's mom, the sweetest lady that ever lived, never said a cuss word in her life, went to church twice on Sunday and every Wednesday.
Mm-mm-mm.
But oddly enough...
Loved wrestling.
Liked Stone Cold.
No. Okay. She was living vicariously through him.
Maybe.
He was like a Southern guy.
We could have a whole nother another podcast talking wrestling.
Yeah. Were you big into it? Like, were you just...
I was huge into it as a kid, kind of drifted away.
Yeah.
But as an adult at 39 years old, I pay $9.99 a month for Peacock TV because they... bought out the WWE network,
mm-hmm.
and I get every pay-per-view through Peacock TV.
Really?
So I get to watch WrestleMania.
I was wondering where it went.
So it's on Peacock.
We can do WrestleMania this year or what?
I absolutely am.
It's like a two-day event now.
It's a two-day event. So they went to a two-day event in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
WWE was one of the only sports that kept going strong during COVID, and they built what they called the Thunderdome, and it was an indoor arena.
Right.
It was built on WWE's property, and they did a great job. You know, it was weird. Even the wrestlers were like, hey, we're not performing in front of a crowd.
It's bizarre.
But we're still trying to do the thing. And then they retrofitted it where they had this whole arena of screens.
Yeah.
And fans could pay to log in, and their face was on one of the screens in the crowd, and it was great. So during 2020, during COVID, Vince McMahon was like, well, shit, we don't have fans. We can't do that. He's like, let's go to more of like a theatric play on it.
Yeah.
And they did a two-day event, and it was awesome.
For WrestleMania.
I remember my ex-wife and I was like, I'm going to buy WrestleMania. She's like, what? I was like, there's nothing else. Like,
you know you're going to get a quality... Some UFCs, they're done within a second.
Yeah.
Wrestling, you know you're getting a show.
You're getting... And now it's 2 days of great, fun entertainment. Yep. So I still watch it. Even last year, night two, we watched the Hoobies. And I asked Courtney, I was like, hey, can I put it on in the middle room? She's like, sure. I'm telling you, watch.
People are gonna
like dabble into the middle room and see what's going on.
What's going on?
And by
here?
The end of the night, it was The Rock had made his comeback, and he was
against Cena?
No, he was fighting, he was with Roman Reigns and the Bloodline, and I cannot remember who they were fighting. Big trashy story. It's a male soap opera.
Of course.
I got to retap in about a month or two before WrestleMania to get caught back
up. Yeah, absolutely.
But, so I'm like, I'm super excited. The Rock's going to wrestle. And he did a great job. He's older. He's pushing 50, but did an amazing job. But next thing you know, you look around the middle room of Hoobies, and there's like 10 of us.
No way.
Chops was there. Nick that works there. There was a couple of other just random patrons.
Shout out to Nick, dude. I love that guy.
Nick's awesome. But a couple of random patrons are just like sitting back there, and we're just hooting and hollering and having a great time. And Courtney's like, what the hell just happened? I was like, yeah. Because all of these grown men watched this as a kid, and they're not going to pay for it on their own. But if it's on, they're going to be like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll watch
absolutely.
This. Absolutely. And so it was great. I told Courtney I'm going to do my damnedest to have a two-night WrestleMania watch party at Hoobies.
Why not? Like, advertise it. That'd be fun as hell.
Yeah, I got to sell the boss on that one.
Yeah, well, we'll twist some arms. We'll make it happen, baby. Oh, God. I love it. I was a big Jeff Hardy guy. Big Jeff Hardy guy. Like, he had a fearless. The Hardy Boys as a tag team.
They were awesome. That dude. That would do his swanton off the top of a ladder.
Bomb. He's wild.
He's crazy, man.
Love
he's
those guys. Man. Oh, I love it. We could absolutely have another podcast completely on
wrestling.
I could
go down that rabbit hole.
The first WrestleMania I really specifically remember seeing with Tall Zach and his dad Ross, rest in peace. WrestleMania 23, first like saw like got the Money in the Bank ladder match, and then Hornswoggle came out from under the ring. Yep. Those Finley's little his dwarf. It was just so. It's just fun, and don't think too much into it. What they say: suspend your disbelief.
Just enjoy.
Enjoy
it for the terrible, trashy, fake, real entertainment.
Absolutely.
We all know wrestling is fake. Those guys are incredible athletes.
They are, and that's that. Absolutely true. The boo-boos are real. The athleticism is absolutely real. But
the outcome is predetermined. Everybody knows
and
that.
And that's, like, unfortunately, my good sir. I know I'm completely deviating. That's how I view the NFL these days now. Yeah, after seeing the refs make the Super Bowl again. Yeah. But I will spare you my rant because I'll just start crying.
As
I do. Your favorite pro athlete growing up?
Favorite professional athlete growing up? Was never a big pro sports guy, and I'm sure you'll
maybe college athlete,
diehard college football play or Georgia Bulldog college football.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the first real Georgia player, I was like, man, that guy, right? Obviously, there's the legend of Herschel Walker. That was my dad's era, right? Herschel Walker's a Georgia Bulldog.
He was a Bulldog?
Georgia Bulldog. He was an All-American Heisman Trophy winner for the University of Georgia. My favorite, probably, Georgia football player growing up early would have been Champ Bailey.
Champ Bailey. I remember the name.
Ended up going on to play.
Broncos?
He played for Denver.
Yeah.
Kind of moved around the NFL, but the majority of his career with
defensive
Denver.
Guy?
Defense. Yeah. Well, he played actually a little bit of both, but he ended up being in the NFL known to be a defensive back, but he played a little bit of wide receiver at the University of Georgia as well.
That's awesome.
And even played a little bit of quarterback for us.
He played quarterback for you guys?
Out of necessity.
You guys are out of players.
We were just, it was not. That was not the heyday. Me growing up as a Georgia fan, and that's why everybody says, how are you such a Georgia Bulldog fan? I've been a Georgia Bulldog fan since I was knee-high to a duck.
Yeah.
And, boy, it wasn't always good.
Say, you know? Well, so
everybody looks now and they're like, oh, yeah, you're a Georgia fan. You guys are the top of the mountain, the big boys, national champion. No.
You earned your keep.
We were not always that good.
Would you say there are the dog days of Georgia?
I see what you did there. Hey. So, yeah, I mean, early on, the 80s, Georgia was the premier. I mean, we won a national championship in the 1980. Herschel Walker was a freshman. Had a great run in the early 80s. And then we kind of were mired in mediocrity for the 90s and, you know, into the early 2000s. And then Margaret came along and Georgia was a contender, but was never going to get over.
Was it because the other, like the Alabamas and the Auburns or the Floridas, the Hurricanes, but surrounding
at that
schools
point,
more prestigious?
You had Nebraska was on top of the game. Texas was doing great things. USC was doing great things. Alabama was on the up and up. You know, once Nick Saban had come over, you know, Miami had their time in there, right? These teams, but Georgia was going to win 9-10 games a year. Mark Rick was going to take us to an honest bowl game. Never going to win a national championship with Mark Rick.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Yeah, so finally Mark Rick moved on after the 2016 season. Kirby Smart's come over. And, you know, the rest is what people know of Georgia Bulldog football now.
What was it like to win the Natty?
Oh, man. Georgia winning their first national championship of my lifetime.
Yes.
The 2021 season, 2022 national championship could not have come at a better time for me personally. I needed that, and not so much in the aspect of, oh man, because I do. I care very much about college football.
Yes,
I'm
you do.
I'm a diehard Georgia Bulldog fan. But Georgia won that national championship 2.5 months after my ex-wife left.
Yeah.
And said she wanted a divorce. So it's like, I needed that in life to, like, give me that
little spark,
like,
little,
man, this is okay. And I immediately went the next day and I went and got this, yes, you know, national championship tattoo the next day. and then kind of worked through life and turn around and we go 15-0 and undefeated the next season. And I was fortunate enough to go to the national championship with my brother and Courtney.
Is your brother as ravenous as a fan?
Yes. I mean, that is my family.
Why are college fans so much more, dare I say, ravenous than NFL fans? It seems that they're cut from a different cloth.
You know, and it's weird. I mean, that's regionally as well. So in the South.
In the South.
Like college football is life.
Yeah.
But you go up, I lived in New Jersey. Everybody in New Jersey, it's, you know, Eagles, Giants, Jets. No, okay. Because, well, their colleges suck.
Rutgers is, it's like, what's
Rutgers
to watch
is terrible. No one cares about Pitt. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But in the South, like, it matters. And really, the Falcons suck. So, but, you know, it's
you
just.
You got Kirk, baby. You
know, and people ask me, why are you that way? And I was like, I don't know, because that's just my dad was a diehard Georgia Bulldog fan, and that's just what
this is what you do.
That's just what you do, and it becomes a part of who you are. So yeah, got the opportunity to go to the national championship for the 2022 season, 2023 national championship. It was great. It was a phenomenal experience. The game sucked.
Lost?
No, we beat TCU 63-7.
Oh.
I mean, as a Georgia fan, it was amazing because it's like, you know, we're, you know, 8 minutes into the football game, it's like we're walking out of here national champions.
Yeah.
Back to back. There was
bittersweet.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but the experience, oh my God, it was, I got to go to the national championship.
What was the juice like being around that electricity, that atmosphere, high-fiving strangers?
It was awesome. But it was disappointing in the same time, and I'll tell you this. Mm. You know, that was the first college football game Courtney's ever been to. She got to go to the national championship. And
you
I told
spoiled
her, I
this
like,
woman.
I was like, hey, Court, I was like, man, this is great. We got to go to the national championship. I will never take this experience away. I was like, a Saturday night game in Athens, Georgia, home game, middle of the season, is 1,000 times better than what we just experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right, the game was at SoFi Stadium down in L.A., SoFi Stadium, no tailgating. You can't tailgate. You can't nothing.
What?
There was nothing.
How did they stop people from tailgating?
They literally had cops like driving around, shutting people down.
Are you?
Writing
that is
tickets.
A huge part of the college football lore.
And it was
lore.
Upsetting because I love. I mean, you know, we drove Betty, my pickup truck, from
Betty
from here to L.A. loaded with all my tailgate gear. And we go to set up, and they're like, no, you can't, no tailgate. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's college football. That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's why I got here fucking 6 hours before the game.
Some people just wait and just watch the game
so
as they tailgate
literally
on
they
TV.
Had like this tailgate experience that you could go to. But the key to going to it was you had to go into the stadium. Because it was like, you know, SoFi Stadium, oh, you can get in. So now it's like, but once you go in, you can't get back out. And so now they want you to go to this tailgate experience where you got to buy a $12 beer and do this. So
that
like,
is some absolute horseshit. I would have stayed inside the car and drank my ass off.
Yeah, and that's what we ended up doing, you know. And it was rainy and it was kind of a shitty day, so it wasn't the greatest day to tailgate, anyways. So me, Courtney, and my brother went back to the house before we left for the game that afternoon or that, you know, early afternoon. We cooked a bunch of bratwurst and hamburgers at the house, so we kind of prepackaged all our tailgating food because we even knew, hey, even if we tailgate, it's raining, it's going to be a pain in the ass to grill. So we cooked some food at our Airbnb, and we literally just went back to the truck and popped some umbrellas over the doors and ate some hamburgers and bratwurst and watched Georgia hype videos and highlights.
You made the most out of it.
Best you could.
I feel like that is a such an admirable trait because for me, it'd be so easy to be Mr. Poopy Pants. Oh, this day's ruined. We can't do this. And then just chalk the whole day up.
There was no taking that day away from me and my brother. And it was funny because Courtney got to see a version of me she'd never seen with my brother.
There's Gary, there's Master Sergeant, but then who is this Bulldog Gary?
So,
does he have a name?
No, that is just. Saturdays are a sacred space, and I tell people, hey,
is that
man,
Gary plus?
That is Gary on a different level. I pace around my living room. I scream at my TV. I, you know, the players can hear me cheering from my living room in California.
Mm-hmm.
As they should. You know, I mean, it's just that's how it is. So she got to see me and my brother live a dream of ours.
So you're saying we're due for a trip to Georgia to watch the Bulldogs?
Oh, absolutely.
I
haven't been able to go back to Athens for a game since 2015. So it's been almost 10 years since I've seen a Georgia home game. Got to go to the national championship a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2017, when I was living in Hawaii, I got to go to the Georgia Notre Dame game in South Bend, Indiana, which was amazing. It's a bucket list item. South Bend, the campus of Notre Dame is unlike
anything. Just seems iconic, old school.
It was just absolutely amazing experience.
Brick buildings, just
great game. We walked out with a 19-17 win. Phenomenal game, but yeah,
so, love it, love it.
I am due to make it back to Athens for a football game. It's been far too long.
Damn it!
So
no, like I said, we got some time coming up.
Yep,
failure's not an option when it comes to going. Nope. This. We got to go. We'll made it
good,
up, baby.
I'll be good and retired this football season. So
just go full bulldog.
Nothing holding me back.
Let's go. Dogs off the leash. How many wiener dogs is too many wiener dogs?
Oh, there's never enough.
Wieners. Never enough.
Never enough. I've been trying to get Courtney to let me get a fourth one.
Get four or five?
She says I can have one when I retire. So I have three currently. Jake will be 16 this year. Murphy will be 15 this year.
These old dogs.
Elwood is 10. So they're older guys. Hey. They're still going strong. They're still healthy.
They're good dudes.
Yeah, I love them. Dudes. I love them. I mean, and they those dogs have been through... Everything that I've been through, they've been through.
Mm-hmm.
Every deployment that I went on, they've been through. You know, I remember having to drive them from New Jersey and met my mom in North Carolina. She drove up from Florida and took my dogs for 5 months while I was deployed.
What a good mom.
You know.
Good mom.
Courtney took care of them in 2023 when I was gone for 6 months.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
You know, but they've been through everything. They've been there when I've come home from overseas. You know, they've... moved from New Jersey to Hawaii to California. So yeah, I mean, they've been a big part of my career too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've always been there when work sucked and when things got bad, my dogs were always there for me.
They're your boys.
They're my boys.
They're your dogs. I love it.
I wish those little bastards would get a job, but.
They're cute. I mean, you can Instagram.
They're just expensive.
Yeah. Oh my God.
They're expensive.
Well, yes, sir. That's why I got cats, you know, a little more self-reliant, I suppose. Here's kind of a question takes a little bit of setting up.
Okay.
You're on the phone with somebody. We're talking and they don't get the hint that you're trying to hang up, that it's like, hey, like it's right time to put it to a conclusion. Like my mom, shout out to Debbie Gertz. She'll like be
she's
like,
she's awesome. Love her to death.
Anyway, she'll drop in anyways. And sometimes I do that too. I'm like, all right, so just start drawing out my words a little bit longer. Are there any hints that you have?
No, I literally like, am just like, hey, man, I got to go.
It just.
Again.
I guess true to your.
Again.
Just staying true to yourself.
You know, hey. Like,
oh, see you later.
All right, man. You know, or I'll give you one. I'll be like, all right, man, I'll talk to you later if they keep going on. Okay. All right. I mean, I got to go. I'll talk to you later.
I like it when I'm, because a lot of times I call Skylar when I'm driving back from, so I got time to kill.
Yeah.
And then say if somebody's like, they're done talking. I'm like, wait. I'll do as much as I can to waste their time. I'm like, wait, one more thing. But then I just won't say anything. They're like, fuck you.
I'm pretty blunt. Like, hey, man, I got to go.
I got to go.
I'll give you a call later.
Talk to you later. Very good. Favorite cereal?
Fruity Pebbles.
Very good. Got to eat them quick.
Fruity Pebbles. No,
so good. You
can't let them get full soggy, but you can't eat them when they're... You got to let them get enough to where when you scoop it up, you get like a little sticky mound.
Yeah. It's like fresh. I remember having like get the spoon. I do the dabble. Get the little milk on them.
You got to get everything wet.
Milk to cereal ratio is crucial.
Yep.
I'd say one part cereal to two parts milk.
Usually when I pour my Fruity Pebbles, I'll pour the milk in just till I start to see the milk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so if I get a good bowl of Fruity Pebbles, pour it in, and then when I start to see the milk come up, then I know.
Bowl sizes is crucial sure.
Yeah. A close second, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Not bad. It wouldn't be like a go-to my mom would get, but I had respect for the game. It'd always be there when I spent the night at my friend's house.
Yeah.
They would just pull out that or some wild-ass Cookie Crisp or just some nonsense. Honeycomb was always up there. Were you a fan of Cocoa Pebbles?
Which is weird. Me and Courtney literally just had this talk 2-3 days ago. I do not like chocolate cereal. And she's like, what's the matter with you? It's the best. I was like, no, I don't. Like Cocoa Pebbles, Cocoa Puffs, you know, even like Cookie Crisp, like... No, like chocolates. No.
I can respect the game, but it's not for me. I'd be in a weird mood if there's nothing else.
No, I mean, I, you know.
My preference, Fruity Pebbles for sure.
Fruity Pebbles, between I love. The two. I love a good, you know, tear the roof of your mouth off peanut butter Captain Crunch.
Oh, man. Sick of that roof.
You know, but yeah. I don't want the roof anymore, so I'm going to eat a bowl of
Captain Crunch. How many bowls of Fruity Pebbles could you put down?
If I'm hungry, if I could just pour milk in the bag and eat it, then I would. But I'm usually good for but Fruity Pebbles are weird too. I can't eat Fruity Pebbles and then pour Fruity Pebbles back into the remaining milk and add milk. It's got to be fresh milk.
Yeah, absolutely. So like finish the milk in the bowl
and then go pour another. And I'm usually good for two bowls.
two bowls. You got to save yourself from yourself.
Yeah.
Because that bag's going down.
I will eat the whole bag. So when I was deployed in 2023, that was the one thing. Courtney would send me care packages. Because the food out there was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, so she would send me, you know, a cereal, box of cereal. So we would, I kept my Fruity Pebbles and my Cinnamon Toast Crunch at work in my locker. And then when we get to work, we'd go to the chow hall. And instead of going to get the bullshit food that was disgusting.
Was it that bad?
It
wasn't those chicken wings.
No, it was bad.
Not even bad.
Wow. So I would grab my bowl of my box of Fruity Pebbles and carry it with me to the chow hall and get my milk. And everybody's like, man, let me get some. I was like, touch my Fruity Pebbles or you're going to die. Like, these are mine. These are sacred. Like, I ain't sharing these.
No.
I'll share my Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'll share this. You ain't touch my
Fruity Don't touch the Fruity Pebbles.
Leave my Fruity Pebbles. So I had a box of Fruity Pebbles at home because just as much as cereal is a breakfast food, cereal is very much a dessert.
It has that sweet satisfaction.
Yeah.
Like, I've never dabbled it. When I'm just stony baloney and need something sweet, cereal's for sure a viable option.
But there's times where, like, I've eaten.
I haven't had it straight after.
It's a couple hours. Not like straight after dinner, but like maybe an hour or so later. I'm like, I'm going to go eat a bowl of cereal.
A little something.
So I had a box of Fruity Pebbles at work, and I had a box of Fruity Pebbles in my tent.
You got love for the off-brand Fruity Pebbles? Sometimes I like, say, Target brand.
So,
or
funny story.
Not bad.
Courtney thought she was going to pull a fast one on me. And, you know, this was probably about a year or so ago. And she went grocery shopping, and she bought Winco brand Fruity Pebbles.
I respect the Winco
So here's the thing. Mm. She did it, and she's like, well, I want to see if he notices. I noticed on looks alone as soon as I pulled the because I keep mine in a container.
Yeah.
So as soon as I pulled the container down, I knew immediately it wasn't Fruity Pebbles.
Bigger or just weird?
Yeah, because like the off-brand ones are a little more puffy, a little more bigger, fluffier pieces. Fruity Pebbles are very much a flat, you know. So I already knew right off the bat, but I was like, but what she had done is there's a little bit of Fruity Pebbles left, so she mixed them. So I was like, well, maybe it's just a fucked up bag. Pour them. First bite.
How do they taste?
I was like, what the fuck is this? And I got
mad. You have words.
So here's the thing. I got mad. And I look at her and I was like, what the fuck did you buy? She's like, what? I didn't think you'd notice. I was like, no. But so here's the thing. They were good.
Okay.
But when I was expecting Fruity Pebbles and I got Winco Dino whatever.
Yeah.
I was disappointed. Now, I told her, I was like, if you were to say, hey, I'm going to get some of the Winco Fruity Pebbles, and I know that that's what's coming when I put it in the bowl,
right?
I can get my head around it.
You have to get emotionally prepared for the difference.
I can be on board for that.
Yeah.
You try to hit me with that shit out of left field like you're going to trick me?
No, not today. Not today.
Not cool, man. Not cool.
You got to have words at that point.
We had to have a discussion.
That's a tough conversation to have.
I had to lay a line.
Did you pour it out right in front of her?
You can get store brand everything else. Look,
this is sacred.
I'm a snob when it comes to my Fruity Pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cheat me. I'm a grown man. I make my own money.
Absolutely. I'm getting my store brand. I don't care if it costs a couple bucks extra. You said I've done drugs. Edibles. People, you home make them. Yep. I've had edibles that are in Rice Krispie treat form. But a girl, I covered a shift for her at the rec center at Sonoma State. And then she made it up to me. She made me an edible, but it was Fruity Pebbles, but it was like a Rice Krispie treat. So there's like I've never had it before. I was like, this is delicious. And it was not too strong, not too weak. It was just right where the entire day I'm just like,
I like it.
Like motoring. Like my buddies, like frat boys, we played Century Pong, beer pong, about 100 cups on either side. Because what better time? Why would I spend my time, you know,
also one of the
studying.
Most disgusting games in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, and we're
ping pong
all like,
ball on the ground.
Everybody in COVID's freaking out and breathing mask, and I'm like, we all lived through an era where that ping pong ball rolled all over a basement in this nasty ass room, and we dunked it in a fucking 4-hour-old cup of water.
That's called sanitation,
yeah,
sir.
I've played my fair share.
Yeah, you get some motor oil because you're playing in a garage, and
why not? The
rainbow coloring. Yeah. Very good. Well, I'm glad that I didn't know how passionate you were about Fruity Pebbles. I'm glad we learned these things. Very good.
It's a serious thing.
All right, the last question.
All right.
Very bizarre, but I figured we're weird guys.
Why not?
You're rescuing a hostage, right? Yeah. hostage has duct tape over their mouth.
Okay.
Are you a slow peeler or are you ripping it off?
I'll just rip it off.
Rip it off quick.
Yeah.
Do you prepare them or just like, all right, on three.
I mean, obviously they're going to know when I go to grab for like, it. Like it's coming off. You might as well just rip it off. It's like a Band-Aid, right? I'm not a super, don't have super hairy arms or legs, but I'm not going to sit there and slow peel a Band-Aid off.
It would suck. It hurts. So you just rip it off. I'm just, I've gone time like, I don't know why. Maybe like do it a little bit and then halfway through. Gah.
No,
once I'm just ready for
it, just hang them off.
Just be a man.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, Gary, baby, it has been. How I'm going to check. How long do you think this podcast has been?
We're pushing 2 hours.
I think so.
We're pushing 2 hours. Let's see here. Guaranteed.
219, sir. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Well, Gary, once again, what is the woodworking? How can people get a hold of you? Where can they find
JME
you?
JME Woodworking. I am on Facebook and Instagram under JME Woodworking.
J-M-E. The
Jake maybe. Murphy Elwood.
Elwood. Emphasis on the wood.
On the wood.
Hey. So
look me up if you're interested. A look.
No cutting boards with pressure-treated wood to eat.
We steer away from the chemical-laced lumber these days. So,
awesome.
No, man, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get you on far from the last because more on deployments, more on wrestling, and hell, we can even have like a serial. I do like little tournaments of just I've done best chips. The best, like some best 90s movies. So I think cereal is on deck for, we got to find out who the number one cereal is.
Miss Vicky's Hot Jalapeno Chips, by the way.
Miss Vicky's Hot Jalapeno Chips? Hot the champion chips.
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
Oh, my God. I'm a big French onion sun chip guy. Oh, yeah. All righty, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time.
You lose. Good day, sir.